Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Brandon Marcello wrote this really good piece on 24/7's website about the top 10 Pac-12 players for 2020. He's got some honorable mentions as well at the bottom, but we just tweeted it out. You can find it. We discussed it yesterday, and just the kind of thing that stuck out for me was no quarterback. I mean, you got one quarterback in Keaton Slovis, but it's a defensive and other skill position heavy list, and it's really well done. So Brandon joins us now. Brandon, good article. We enjoyed reading this and talking about it yesterday. So thanks for hopping on with us today. The only one I think we disagreed on was not having Holland in the top 10. Just out of curiosity, when you do lists like this, do you have like a second guess once you publish it and go, maybe Javon Holland should have been on that list?
Yeah, and I put him in my also considered category. He's my first guy outside. I kind of just went with my gut and based off of kind of what I expect to be the top players on each team and how important they're going to be.
Yeah.
And that's why I've got a guy like CJ on there. And even though he's been battling injuries and everything, I just think that he's probably going to be a little bit more involved with the offense this year with Justin Herbert out. So I was kind of deciding actually between the two of them, even though they're on the same team. And I end up going with CJ just because I think he's going to be so much more important and probably going to be a bigger part, for that team as of I see it right now. Heading into the season.
Yeah, and it was fascinating to see only one quarterback on the list when you think of the last handful of years and all the great quarterbacks that have come and gone through the conference and guys playing at the NFL level now. But if you were to re-rank this, let's say, halfway through the season, I'm curious, how many quarterbacks do you think would crack your top 10?
I could definitely see Jaden Daniels on there. I do wonder about Chase Garbers potentially being the guy that makes that leap. I know he was a little inconsistent, but I like his moxie, the way he competes. So I think he could be a guy that's definitely on that list as well. So those are kind of the three guys I'm looking at the moment. USC is going to be doing great there. I think that they're still going to have pretty successful year in the passing game. I just wonder about some consistency there as far as trying to keep the interceptions down. But with that receiver core, I think they're going to do just fine. But to me, I think the guy that could make the biggest leap is Chase. But I think Jaden Daniels, he has an opportunity to actually maybe be the best quarterback in the conference when all said and done, if he ends up leading Arizona State to a divisional title.
Yeah, be fun to watch, no doubt. Brandon Marcello, 247sports.com, top 10 Pac-12 player ranking here. It's really good. We brought this up, but I want to pick your brain because you work for 247 Sports, so you would maybe have some information on this more than us. Interesting, because these kind of lists, when they get made from the conference in years past, it always sticks out that like half or slightly more than half are quarterbacks. This conference very good at producing quarterbacks, just they haven't been in the championship game in a while, and they're not really a contender on the level of the Clemsons, the Bamas, the Ohio States, etc. What do you think it says about the conference, though, that when you put this list together, you're getting heavy defensive players or line players? What does that say about the conference, if anything?
Yeah, I think it's shows you the conference is changing a little bit. And I think that change starts with Oregon and what they've been able to do the last couple of years in the trenches, and not necessarily saying that everybody's following them, but it's put more of a focus, at least from the Nationals perspective, on, wow, the Pac-12 is a much more physical league in the trenches than what we've been accustomed to seeing over the last 10 years or so. I mean, if you just look up and down that list, like you say, a lot of defensive players, but also even in my list of considered players, I've got two linebackers in there, and I've got another defensive end. I mean, to me, this is a league that's, you're starting to see the identity transition a little bit, and I think Oregon in some ways is leading that transition. But also, you know, you look at USC, obviously they've always been a team that's been pretty good in the trenches for the most part, same with Stanford. But when you got Oregon, a team that's quote-unquote been finessed more often, referred to as a finesse team more often than not, then they just come through a year where they probably, or as Mario Cristobal told me, it's the best offensive line he's ever coached or ever been around during his coaching and playing career. It gets a lot more attention, and I think that it most deservedly so, in the Pac-12, where you're seeing a lot of these big-time stars stepping up, and not just at Oregon, as I mentioned, but heck, I mean, look at Oregon State, the linebacker mm-hmm. spot as well.
Yeah,
I think that this is a conference that's on its way up in playing defense. And look at Cal. I mean, goodness gracious, you go from Cal just scoring points in bunches, can't do anything on defense, to all of a sudden it's one of the best defenses in the country. There's a little bit of a sea change going on in the Pac-12.
Yeah, the transformations are pretty incredible. I've been watching Oregon football my entire life. Went to the University of Oregon. I've followed them closely. I've never and can never remember a season in which coming in the most hyped player was an offensive lineman, and far away their best player was an offensive lineman. On that note, just where does Penei Sewell rank for you amongst the players that you've seen through this conference the last couple of years, and then how big is your gap between everybody else and him at number one?
Well, I think with Penei Sewell, I mean, he's the type of player that, I mean, he's already cemented himself as potentially one of the best offensive linemen we've seen come out of college football in the last 4 or 5 years. I think it's very possible he could be a guy that's getting Heisman votes, and not just Heisman votes, but who knows, if they get 5 or 6 guys and let 5 or 6 guys go to New York, maybe he's one of them. Obviously, I don't think he'll win it because it's pretty much a quarterback award these days, but he's phenomenal. And what's going to be interesting is just how he kind of adjusts to this new life where he's the only returning starter for Oregon. Plus, he's got a new quarterback he's got to protect in the backfield. If he could continue to play the way he's been playing, I mean, you have back-to-back years in which he's posting like Pro Football Focus had him gave him an overall grade of 95.5, which is the highest grade they've ever given out to an offensive lineman for an entire season. If he's anywhere close to that again this year, I think he definitely should be getting Heisman votes.
You know, there's so much unpredictability at the quarterback position for all the teams in the country that are looking for new starters, Brandon, but I did want to ask you this. How many teams in your mind, if any, would you say going into the year you would put in the serious national title conversation, or is there none?
I'd say Oregon and then USC if they can get it together. But here's the thing, USC, I mentioned this in several previews I've done. I just don't trust Clay Helton to get it done. I don't care who the players are on the roster. Maybe that's just naive of me to think that, but I think Oregon's the one hope for the Pac-12 this year, and we'll see. But even for Oregon, I don't think you're going to need stellar play at quarterback to be a potential playoff team this year. I think if Oregon could just avoid some missteps and obviously get past USC down the road, then Oregon should be in the playoff. But the issue with the Pac-12 is there just seems to be that stumbling block against a team that you should beat. And then it's hard to overcome that in addition to maybe an early season loss to a conference opponent. But for Oregon, you know, it isn't like you're playing an Auburn team that was like top 10, maybe top 15. You're going to be playing a team early in the season that's already considered a national title contender. So that loss, if you lose, number one, wouldn't it be one that kind of writes you off and you have to win out? I still think maybe a 2-loss Pac-12 team could get in, but that team would have to be Oregon based off the schedule.
Interesting. Yeah, it feels like the USC stuff, we always say they're great, but there's always a qualifier whenever you talk about them that's holding them back. Is there a team, and I think somebody, it might have been you or somebody else at CBS that wrote about Cal being potentially a dark horse. I mean, where do we see kind of a dark horse coming from this conference, if there is one?
Yeah, I've actually, my Pac-12 predictions that I posted last week, I had Cal pretty high up there. I think them and Arizona State are going to be contenders that don't necessarily come out of nowhere, but are going to beat up on some teams and kind of grind them out a little bit. And I like Cal coming into this year in a situation where, one, they've got experience returning everywhere. I think they're the most experienced team returning in the Pac-12 on both sides of the ball. Their defense is maybe not going to be as good as it was last season, but should still be top 15. And the offense will get better with Chase at quarterback. I think Cal is a team that could very well sneak up and beat some opponents. And in fact, a couple weeks ago, I did my top 20 games of the season coming up this year, and 2 games involved Cal, which I never thought I would put on there, at least one, even one game maybe, but I put 2 on there. I think Cal's got an opportunity here to shake things up and potentially get its name back on the map, and do so by not scoring 35, 38, right. 40 points a game, but scoring 28 or 30 and their defense holding opponents down to 14 points.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see some of these teams. As you mentioned, Oregon and Cal, two teams a lot of people are looking at this year. Brendan Marcello, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports as well. Top 10 Pac-12 player ranking. We tweeted it out. You can find it at 247sports.com. Brandon, you're a great writer, man. Thank you for hopping on with us and talking some college football, mainly Pac-12. And we'll have to get you back on once the season gets going.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me anytime.